This is Day of the Human, the podcast of the Stanford Storytelling Project. Each episode, we take a common human experience like teaching or breathing or joking and bring you stories that deepen our understanding of that experience. My name is Carolyn, and in the next few episodes, we're looking at the theme of reclaiming. Live long enough and everyone has this experience. Something you love changes. Your relationship with this thing or place or person becomes complicated, maybe even problematic. You might even feel the need to distance yourself from it completely. But true love rarely disappears without a trace. Today's episode is one of many in a series about reclaiming what's been lost. This series will feature stories about reclaiming neighborhoods, music venues, childhood obsessions, sports teams, languages, and ways of seeing ourselves. It's about holding the tension between what we were and who we've become. It's about returning to our origins, but this time in a more nuanced perspective. I want to start today's story with a confession. I'm not an animal person. One time, I told a guy that I liked that I didn't want any pets. He stopped talking to me after that. I wasn't always like this. When I was in second grade, we had an assignment to draw what we wanted to be when we grew up. While other kids drew themselves as firefighters or doctors, I drew myself as a SeaWorld trainer. I was amazed by whales when I was younger, and I thought I was so cool for not wanting to be like the other kids. But then, this movie Blackfish came out that bashed SeaWorld. I never really fell back in love with animals after that. My mom wouldn't let me get a dog, and my brothers were allergic to cats. Somewhere along the way, I grew an aversion to animals. Even as an adult, I don't let dogs lick me, and I prefer my animals medium rare. Sorry. So, needless to say, when I found myself surrounded by 7 wild monkeys at a monastery in Hong Kong, I was not happy. I was at this place called 10,000 Buddhas, where you walk up this path lined with golden statues and signs warning travelers about beggars pretending to be monks. But what the signs don't say is that there are also wild monkeys that are probably smarter than you and could beat you in a fight if they wanted to. You may be thinking, what's the big deal? They're just monkeys, and you, narrator, are related to them. To which I respond, yeah, I know, listener. And what were you thinking, God? Monkeys? Really? And yet, when I look back to that moment at the monastery, what I remember isn't the faces of each golden Buddha or the beauty of the mountain trail. What I remember is being mesmerized by the monkeys sitting in the Buddha's laps. Staring at them, I felt something in me shift, a feeling of awe or wonder. One of them locked eyes with me like he recognized me. In that moment, a small part of me reclaimed that love for animals that I'd lost. Today's story is about just that. Like me, Max Du loved animals as a kid, until that love was tarnished. Here's Max with that story.
As a kid, I was always trying to find my place in the world. I was one of those childhood menaces who jumped on tables and kicked other people's toys. Most of the other kids at school steered clear of me and said I was weird. I was the only child in an immigrant family, and at home, my parents gave me a lot of attention. In school, when I followed the rules, no one noticed me. But when I acted out, I was the center of the world. I was intimately familiar with the timeout chair. But I actually liked sitting there, because it meant that people were looking at me. One Halloween, my mom made a killer whale costume and I wore it to school. My arms were flippers and a floppy tail dragged behind me. I expected everyone to ignore me like usual, but to my amazement, everyone suddenly loved me. All of my classmates came up to me and wrapped their arms around my big, puffy costume. I was cute and cuddly, and it felt amazing. I wanted to be that whale all the time. Back then, all I could think about was whales, and I could point to the exact time and place when my whale obsession began. The Believe Show at SeaWorld. When I was little, my dad traveled to California a lot for research. Sometimes, he'd take us along. I can still remember sitting in the stadium of SeaWorld San Diego as a six-year-old, getting ready to see the new whale show. The Believe Show was about a boy obsessed with whales. He thinks he's alone in the world, until one day, as he's standing on the beach, he sees a killer whale, runs to the water, jumps in a kayak, and travels through the ocean with the whale by his side.
For each of us, there comes a moment. A defining instant in our lives. When we are changed forever.
Believe was hypnotic. I wanted to be that boy in the kayak, side by side with a killer whale. The show ended with a splash. We'd all put our hands out and touched our thumbs to make whale tails. We'd wave the tail up and down and chant the whale's name, Shamu. When the whales blasted us with water, it felt like magic. As a six-year-old, I couldn't put words to why I found Believe so powerful, but I sensed that I was experiencing something that would change me forever. My whale obsession wasn't limited to SeaWorld. I talked about whales constantly to everyone I knew. Some of my friends called me Orca Boy. I didn't mind. Secretly, I even dreamed of becoming a whale trainer. At a science camp in 8th grade, I decided to let my campmates in on my whale dreams. I stood there, expecting that they'd want to hear more. But instead, they laughed at me and told me I should get a killer whale girlfriend. Looking back, we were all early teenage boys, and I shouldn't have expected anything better than that. But still, it made me stop in my tracks. I'd always been a bit of a misfit, but I thought my love for whales made me more likable. For the first time, being Orca Boy made me a freak. I was also worried about a movie called Blackfish. It was about a SeaWorld trainer named Dawn who was killed by an orca during a SeaWorld show. I didn't know what to think when I watched Blackfish. I didn't think I agreed that SeaWorld was abusing animals, or that the orca had killed Dawn as an act of psychosis. But my love for whales suddenly felt complicated. That summer, when I came home from camp, I rolled up the whale posters that covered my bedroom walls. As I packed them in a box, I felt suddenly embarrassed that I'd spent so much time being obsessed with an animal. I couldn't bring myself to throw the posters away, so I stashed them in the basement. But if you'd asked me, I would have told you that Orca Boy was gone. When the pandemic hit in 2020, I was a few months away from graduating high school. In those crazy first couple of weeks of lockdown, my parents were stocking up on canned goods. That's how I ended up in the basement, sorting stacks of ramen and rice and chicken soup. I found myself cleaning in larger and larger circles, eventually trying to organize my childhood belongings in the back of the basement. At a time when the world outside felt chaotic, it was comforting to bring order to something closer to home. One afternoon, I found an old lunchbox with a laughing killer whale painted on the front. I was way too old for lunchboxes, but something stopped me from stuffing it back into the bin. I put it aside on the shelf and told myself I'd deal with it later. For days after that, every time I went to the basement, I'd look at the lunchbox. It drew me back to a time when life and my love for whales felt uncomplicated and joyful. As the days turned into weeks and the quarantine continued, I found myself thinking about Orca Boy more and more. One afternoon, with nothing better to do, I looked up the Believe Show on YouTube, just to see if it was the way I remembered it. I thought maybe I'd just watch it for a minute or two, but as soon as I heard the familiar music, I cranked up the volume and settled in for the entire 20-minute show. As I watched, I noticed things that I'd missed as a kid. It was a little over the top and melodramatic. It was like Preview Guy meets Jaws, meets Air Flutes, meets Christian contemporary pop. And I still loved every minute of it. Thanks for listening to the first part of Orca Boy. Please stay tuned for the rest of the story, coming soon wherever you get your podcasts.
That story was produced by Max Du. You'll hear more stories of reclaiming what's been lost in upcoming episodes. You've been listening to State of the Human, the podcast of the Stanford Storytelling Project. This episode was produced by Max Du and me, Carolyn Stein, with support from Laura Joyce Davis, Dawn Fraser, Megan Kalfus, Melissa Deardahl, and Jonah Willingans. For their generous financial support, we'd like to thank the Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education, the Program in Writing and Rhetoric, the Office of the Vice President for the Arts, and Bruce Braden. You can learn more about the Stanford Storytelling